I like your blog post, though, working for the weekend. First of all, for the Loverboy reference, which is never bad for me as a geek for 80s music.
You and me and five other people got that. Though.
Okay, well, so. But that's all that counts because
right.
We're the important six, seven people. So I love that. But the sentiment that you express here, too, about Secretary Leon Panetta deciding that he is going to spend many of his weekends on at home, which for him is in Northern California. It's not like it's, you know, McLean like it is for a lot of folks. That's something that I've seen recently woven through the a lot of the managerial techniques, a lot of the management books and so on that I've been looking at, leadership books that I've been looking at is if you feel that you have to be absolutely immersed in your organization's operations 24/7, then you're not doing it right. And it sounds like that's what Secretary Panetta is trying to step back from.
Yeah, it sort of seems that way, that maybe he's recognizing what a lot of people say, and that is that your organization is not run well if your leaders have to be engaged with it 24/7 and feel, and maybe they're, you know, maybe they're micromanaging if they feel that need to be that connected. On the other hand, the sort of interesting thing, which I kind of didn't get at in the blog post, is it's not entirely certain that Panetta is actually working less because of this arrangement. I mean, obviously, he's connected all the time. He's got a secure facility near his farm. He's got secure video conferencing. I mean, and he's, of course, when he's flying, he's on a military aircraft. So he's accessible the entire time and may well be working just as much as he would if he'd have stayed in town.
I think something that gets lost on people is this whole concept is brought to you by the same federal government that originated the football. The idea that the President of the United States might have to make a decision, albeit a terrible one, at any moment in time, no matter where in the world he is, he might have to push a button, and so he has access to that button. And so I don't think any of us should really be as surprised as I think some of us are.
Yeah, I think that's right. I think for these kind of officials, there's a long-standing policies and traditions in place that they, so that they can be in position to make the decisions they need to make. There are, of course, practical considerations. One thing I was struck by is, you know, even if he's taking the weekends off, man, that's a big hassle to fly to California every week.
Mm-hmm.
I would think you'd get tired of that after a while and maybe just want to hang around Washington and, you know, tour the museums or something every once in a while. And there's, of course, the issue of taxpayer cost for this, because he's required to fly on military aircraft and he's required to reimburse the Defense Department at the rate he would pay if he were flying on a commercial aircraft, which, of course, is nowhere near the actual cost,
right.
to fly him out there. So it's not an inexpensive thing.
But I'm not sure, as you said earlier, that it's necessarily such a bad idea, especially if he was obviously almost unanimously, if not unanimously confirmed by the Senate. So it's hard to say that there was a lot of opposition to him becoming defense secretary. If he is the right man for the job, it's not necessarily a terrible thing to invest in him as a person to be able to refresh himself every once in a while.
Yeah.
And it's not as though he created Northern California out of whole cloth. I mean, he has a foundation that he worked at in between stints in service. And, of course, it's where he represented in Congress.
Right. And I think that's an important part of this is not just anybody could have cut this kind of deal, I think, but, you know, he's considered to be a very good man for the job, so it's perceived to be worthwhile that he be allowed to do this. And, you know, it really is not, when you get right down to it, not really that unreasonable. He's taken some time off on the weekend, which is probably a good thing.
Do we get any sense, though, of what this might mean for the rest of the Defense Department? Because I can foresee an environment where it doesn't take too many layers to go down before somebody says, well, he gets to do it, but I don't get to do it. No, nobody's doing that for me.
Yeah, I think it potentially does, but also, you know, he's the Secretary of Defense, and he gets a lot of stuff that other people don't get, I think.
Tell me about your, you have a good Labor Day weekend since you have Labor Day on the brain?
Yeah, it was very nice. It was pretty quiet. I love being in Washington on holiday weekends.
The reason I ask you that is because you kind of put your heart on your sleeve at the beginning of this blog post. You write, as the Labor Day weekend that is now sadly behind us loomed.
Yes. Well, it is not just that it was a three-day weekend, which is nice, but it's the end of summer, too. And it's now we're back to, kids are back at school, everybody's back at work, and so it's sort of the end of that nice, quiet summer in Washington period.
Yeah, and this is going to stack up to be a pretty crazy month because we have no appropriations bills done. No agencies have any idea what will happen funding-wise in the... Well, my math is terrible. 24 days between now and the end of the fiscal year. Right. The contracting community is going to be bananas with last-minute fiscal year orders. Is there a potential for this September to be more chaotic than previous Septembers because of those things? Or do you see a September that's going to be pretty much par for the course?
I think chaos at this time of year is now par for the course. So I'm not sure it's going to be any worse than it ever is. Although with the whole super committee coming in with deficit reduction, that throws a wrinkle into everything. I think it's going to make it that much more difficult to get appropriations bills passed and to get other things in order. So probably more chaos, not less.
We do this from time to time, and I always enjoy it because you're right almost 100% of the time. So over under on the continuing resolution being over and an actual funding bill, even if it's just a long-term CR, for the rest of fiscal 2012, the over-under I'm going to set at February 1st. Will you take the over or the under?
You mean that's where the continuing resolution will be set?
That's the date. Do you think over means that it's going to happen after February 1st and under means before February 1st?
You mean it'll take longer than February 1st?
Yes.
To get it all squared up?
Correct. I've obviously made this much too complicated.
I'm taking the over.
All right. So after February 1st is when you think we'll finally know what's going to happen for fiscal 2012.
Yes.
Okay. I'm really sorry I made it so complicated.
No, I think I was being a little thick-headed about that.
Well,
that's a good question, actually. Well, I like that.
And see, I think it really, I think you're probably right about that. And it's the uncertainty that I think is going to drive people crazy for the next couple of months. And I think that's probably what we'll wind up talking about at least once between now and whenever we finally get something.
Yeah, the only wild card there could be, and because I'm thinking of this off the top of my head, the way the presidential race factors in could provide more of an incentive for them to get things done so that people can get out on the campaign trail and be focused on the primaries and stuff like that.